Hello and welcome to Unbox, the podcast that dives deep into the world of custom packaging and innovative brand experiences. In each episode, we'll be exploring the latest trends, innovations, and best practices in the design and packing industry, and then taking a look at how they can help businesses like yours to create memorable and impactful brand experiences. I'm your host, Sam Johnston. Let's get started. I'm your host, Sam Johnston, and in this episode, we'll be talking to Rosie, who pretty much single-handedly helped usher in the new cannabis age that we see today, garnering global media coverage and mainstream publications for clients and organizations, including things like the first cannabis article ever published on the Oprah magazine, which is amazing. And over just even the past year, you know, firm has grown alongside the growth in the industry, adding several new marketing and communication services for clients. It's content, SEO, event planning, influencer marketing, and loads more in there as well. And Rose, I have to touch on some of the epic awards that have happened as well. So there's the Marijuana Venture 40 Under 40, High Times Female 50, there's the Forbes 15 Powerful Innovative Women in Cannabis. The list just keeps on going. So congratulations on what you've achieved so far, and thank you so much for giving the time to come on the show. We appreciate
it. Thanks for having me today. I'm excited to be here and chat about this. You know, we've been at this a long time, so we've seen a lot of things happening in the packaging side of things. So thanks for having me. I'm excited to chat today.
Love it. And a lot of our listeners, there is some that are in the packaging space. A lot of them, however, are just, they're in the product space in reality. And packaging is one part of their go-to-market and of the growth of their brands. But I know that you're going to be able to bring a totally different angle to some of the previous guests that we've had. And this kind of the public relations and the communications angle of this is so important. And it's not something that we've covered. So I know that the guests and the audience are going to get some really good insights here. We've got five key questions that we're going to run through. So I'll just let the listeners know this now. So if they want to jump ahead and we'll slot into those specific questions, they can do that. The first one is going to be around how can public relations leverage packaging as a visual storytelling tool, and we'll dig into that. Number two is going to be looking at influencer kits and leveraging those for PR and how that could be impactful. The third one will be around sustainability and environmental concerns within brand packaging and PR in particular. The fourth will be what can PR do to promote more eco-friendly packaging practices? What part does PR have to play in that? And then the fifth one will be us putting on, putting the crystal ball in front of us and looking at the future and hopefully giving some tips. People are looking to see what's going to happen down the pipeline, what's going to happen over the next 5 to 10 years, and how can they be preparing today to better get ahead of things tomorrow? So before we get into all of that, though, I'd love to begin, if you could give our listeners some insights into your story and what brought you to today, to this point, as the founder of Matteo Communications.
Yeah, again, thanks for having me. And it's interesting, you know, when we first started talking about this, like, God, how can, like, you know, we're a marketing agency or a PR agency, but really the idea of brand and packaging and visual storytelling is so crucial to what we do. So just a little bit of background on me. My name is Rosie Matteo. I'm founder and CEO of Matteo Communications. Today, we are the largest cannabis communications firm in the country, potentially the world, but it wasn't always that way. My background came from mainstream PR, worked at big agencies in New York like Rubenstein and Allison Broad. My background had been in specialty food. And then my husband had a startup. It was a tech startup. So I started doing some tech PR, but really my core capability was food and tech. And then in 2013, we moved out to Seattle, Washington for my husband's job. And right around that time, cannabis became legal for adult use in that market. So, and just fortuitously, we moved to Seattle, and somebody I was working with a crowdfunding platform for books because I had a tech background. And they used to give me little projects to work on. There was one about architecture. And one of the projects they gave me was a cannabis cookbook, not because I had cannabis background, but because I had food and tech background. They gave me this project. And I had no cannabis experience in 2014. There were not many PR firms. And if they were servicing cannabis industry, they were really doing like cannabis trades, but nobody was taking this mainstream approach. So because I had no cannabis background, my contacts were the New York Times food editor, the food editor, innovation editor, tech editor at Fast Company. So I took on this project. It was a 6-week campaign, and I pitched it to my editors. I thought it was beautiful, cool cookbook, and it took off like wildfire. I'd always been pretty good at what I had done, but I had never had the success where they're fighting for the exclusive on this cannabis cookbook. So after that campaign ran up and we were in the New York Times, we were in Fast Company, we were in Mashable, a little light bulb went off in my head. And I said, hey, I could probably bring my mainstream background in PR to this space. So Seattle was, you know, a bit of a booming cannabis market, and there was cannabis tech meetups, if you can believe it. I started going to those, started to network, met my first agency of record client, Headset. They're actually with us today still. And that was it. And then over for the first, from 2014 to 2018, I was a solo practitioner, had an intern, and that was it. In 2018, the business is really starting to scale. I had like 9 or 10 clients by myself. I had 4 children at home. My husband was working, and it was just going nuts. And then I brought in a business partner, somebody I worked with in tech, a longtime founder, and helped me institutionalize it. Hired our first employee November 2018, fast forward 2024, 4 years later, almost 9 years into the space. We're a team of 40 people, 50 clients across the supply chain. We do PR, social media, investor relations, content, SEO. And that's the founding of Matteo as an agency.
Wow. I mean, what a journey. Fantastic growth. Just, and I can imagine, right, to get that kind of scale, that takes a lot of skill, but also a lot of determination to get there. Yes. So congratulations.
Thank you. And you're following the cannabis market, you know, as long as I have. There are ups and downs. We're in a down right now. But, you know, it's all part of the journey. And it's been exciting to see the innovation and just how the industry has evolved.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for giving us that background. I know that with all of that kind of experience, the next couple of questions, we're going to get some gold out of it, I'm sure. So let's jump straight into that first one, which is, in the social media era, how can public relations leverage packaging as a visual storytelling tool to create shareable content, drive online conversations, and strengthen brand visibility and awareness? How do you think?
Yes. So it's really interesting that packaging actually does play a very crucial role for us as marketers. Some of your viewers or listeners might not realize that we have a lot of restriction as relates to marketing and advertising in cannabis. I always tell the story when I did food PR, I worked for a popcorn company, a healthy popcorn company. So we would pitch to Shape Magazine, and what would we do? When they wanted to try the popcorn, we'd stick it in a box and we'd ship it across state lines, and they would try the popcorn and maybe write about it. But we're working with a federally illegal product, so the mail is not my friend. We cannot legally, you know, we can not legally send product. So we really need the visuals of a product to tell that story. And it's everything from, and also like some packaging, like you can't have the cannabis nug on it. So they're really education tools for us, right? You can get a look, feel, taste of the brand without actually trying the product. So, you know, it used to be the cannabis was sold like in jars and you'd go into a store. But now, you know, when I entered in, the reason why this was an exciting project for me was that was my experience. You bought it from your dealer, you got in a little baggie, but it really started to look like CPG. So the mainstreaming of cannabis really has come through this creative packaging where there's all these new consumers coming into the space. And how do you educate them? It's all in the packaging. It's, you know, what is the effect of this product? And even, I'm going to stand up for a second. I don't know if we're recording video, but one of our first clients, they were called Candescent. And their whole thing, and look how beautiful this packaging is, by the way. One of their holiday gifting products. And there was jars in here. So, and their whole packaging and their concept and their brand was about effects-based architecture. So each of the strains, it was Calm, Connect, Charge, all C's, right? And they use the packaging to communicate what the effects were. So especially in cannabis, like when I said, you can't share things across state lines, you can't sample. Packaging is really one of our biggest tools.
Amazing. And I know that a lot of the clients that we've worked with, just from creating the actual package design angle side of things, getting that message out there as soon as you have this brand new innovation or this brand new packaging, even on old innovation, it's something that's missing from a lot of organizations. If somebody, I guess, at what stage of product development would you say is the best time to engage with public relations or communications experts?
I mean, we always love, you know, we work with a lot of startups, so we actually love having some input if we can. Yeah. But usually people come to us once they have the brand bake. We're not a branding agency, we're a communications agency. So, you know, they'll come to us once it is, you know, once they have the product and the brand developed. Yeah. But also, you know, we've been around this long time. We know it works. We know it doesn't work. And sometimes we won't take on a client if we think that the packaging is not something that's going to resonate with editors and with their audience, especially editors, because we work with, you know, that's our, we work with media, we work with influencers. And we, you know, and we always want to do a great job. So we don't feel like comfortable or confident or proud of a product to send it out to an editor. Like our name's on the door too. We can't be sending out things that don't look great. So, you know, we assess our clients by what their packaging looks like too. Mm-hmm. And it's also like, and what really is important is that it reflects, like some people think packaging is a brand, and that's not true, right? You have to build the brand and then build the packaging and the around it. So really you build that trust, and especially in an industry like cannabis, where there's a lot, I keep saying there's a lot of education that needs to happen. Not having a full baked brand and have it reflecting in your packaging is recipe for failure, because there's already not like a mistrust, but people just don't know. So you really need the whole experience. You need to start from the second you open that box or you open that tin.
100%. And I think that actually leads nicely onto the next question here, which is, how is the packaging for influencer kits leveraged by PR professionals, marketers, to not only enhance the product launch, but also cultivate strong relationships with influencers and other stakeholders in there?
Yeah. So I'll go back to this point where, you know, we are, as marketers are, we do this with our hands tied behind our back. But those listeners who might not be familiar with some of these restrictions, we can't boost an ad on Instagram. It is against the, it's against the rules, right? The community guidelines. Mm-hmm. So everything that a cannabis company does, if they don't want to get their account shut down, is organic posting, right? So we really utilize influencers to, you know, tell the story, sell the brand, right? Because we can't put a photo of this on and just like boost it like anybody else, like a sneaker company or popcorn company. So influencers become a really, really important medium for cannabis companies. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, they get paid, you know, money, but sometimes they get paid in products. And they're creating their own brands, right? So we can't ask an influencer to talk about a product if it's not something that reflects, you know, what their demographic is. So we work with clients to develop influencer kits. We think about what's your brand? What is your brand? Mm-hmm. Who is your target demographic? What do those influencers look like? And we develop influencer kits that will resonate with them. Just sending them, you know, anything that's a pretty package, that's like a spray and pray approach, which we don't do. So we really look critically at who we want to target and what their interests might be. And we customize it based on that. And that's a really great way to build relationships with influencers. And also some of our clients, one of them is a brand that's really deep rooted in music, right? So they're based in Chicago, and every year there's Lollapalooza. So a lot of the time, what we've done the past couple of years, we create these really interesting influencer kits specific to Lollapalooza and specific to Chicago. So we've done in the past few years Cubs jerseys that have the brand name on it, and we'll send that to the influencers. And some of them have even worn it on stage because it's so cool. And it matches with what their brand is about music. It goes with Chicago, and just being really creative with the influencer packaging. We never expected to see these influencers actually wear it on stage. So if you actually are creative and think really intelligently about how the packaging and the influencer kits can really help the brand tell their story, it's a real win for the brand and for the influencer, mm-hmm. because they'd be proud of it.
Love it. And I think a lot of people who haven't had any engagement with influencer marketing previously, it's kind of an unknown, right? It's an area that they're aware it's happening. They're aware that people are having success, but they don't really know how to get started moving into influencer strategies. Do you often work with organizations to consult? And sometimes it's not the right approach. Sometimes it is. And there's varying sort of, varying types of influencer activity that could happen. Do you get engaged early on? Or is it once somebody already knows, I know I want to go after this, Rosie and the team are the best people to do it?
Yeah. So it's always like a give and take with a client, or they might have an idea who they think their target, you know, influencer is, and they want to go, you know, to the Kim Kardashians of the world, right? You've got millions and millions of followers, and people think that that's the answer. The bigger the influencer is, the better it is. But that's not necessarily true. It's really what the influencer's audience is and how it engages with them, right? So sending, you know, any influencer just a box and hoping that they're going to, you know, post something just doesn't work, and it's a waste of resources and time. So we really work with clients to identify who the right person is for them, how they like to be engaged. And sometimes the influencer list is for people, because just getting the right person, the right product is sometimes better than sending, you know, 50 boxes out and hoping somebody's going to do something. So that's really the conversation that we have. And then, you know, the real interesting part for us is that as our clients have more data and as they're maturing, they're willing getting to understand who their customer is. So we can try to do, you know, lookalikes as it relates to influencer match it that way.
Love it. Yeah. And I think that whilst we're in this conversation of segmenting audiences and the tribes that exist around product and brand within, I know within Merchant Boxes, the sustainability and environmental concerns and the tribes that exist around that specific type of pain point in the market. There's a lot of brands that are going after that. So the next question leads into this, I think, which is how do sustainability and environmental concerns, specifically within brand packaging, play into PR narratives? How do you work with that?
So there's a few things. So this is another little dirty little secret about cannabis. Because of the regulation, the child-proof packaging is like a table stake, right?
Yeah.
And they're very, very strict. So there's a lot of waste in cannabis due to regulation, right? Like think about a liquor bottle, like think about a Grey Goose. You just sort of pull that thing off and pop the thing out and you pour it. Here, like you got a tin and they get stuck and they get caught and they've got a ribbon around it and the bag has to be sealed. Yeah. So there's so much waste. And it kills us actually, but we can only deal within the regulations that we have. And there's a lot of great packaging companies that are popping up that are really trying to solve that problem about sustainability. And for us as publicists, it's something that's very difficult for us because, you know, and I'm embarrassed to say it, like early on when we can't ship product across state lines, but sometimes the packaging, because it has done such a good job to reflect it, that we'll send the box with like no product in it. And like it sort of hurts my soul that we're sending packages that we know that's going to go in the garbage and they haven't even had a chance to try the product. But because we're so limited in what we can do, we've had to do that before. But yeah, so cannabis does have a packaging problem, but a lot of, you know, companies that, you know, cannabis is sort of like an ESG sort of company, industry. Like there's a lot of like ethos that are involved with a good cannabis company. So the ones that are trying to do things right are trying to make things super sustainable, but given the regulations, it's very hard. And so we do try to educate reporters when we send things out and be like, listen, this is like not our choice. This is, you know, sort of what we're dealing with. But people are really trying to diminish waste going forward.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I know that the team, Rick and Mickey over there in Merchant Boxes, deal with this on a continual basis. So even just staying up to date with the continual changes and the regulatory updates is a full-time job in itself, never mind then trying to apply design, brand, and sustainable environmental impact to it.
And think about it also, like as a consumer, some of these tins, they get caught. Like what a horrible consumer experience that is. Like, I love that gummy, but I'm not going back. I have to like knock it on the table to get it open. But so it's actually a real issue. And I obviously this will evolve, but it's a challenge.
What do you think the PR can do to promote more eco-friendly packaging practice overall, you know, even outside of the cannabis sphere?
I think it is really working with the clients to make sure that we're sort of pushing them to make sure that they are, you know, having their best effort forward. Also for us, it's, you know, sometimes we used to send things out, right? And mail can be, they're sending out all this product, like we're producing waste. So sometimes what we'll do is we'll do an in-person event, right? Mm-hmm. Which brings people together. We can do, you know, great chefs, great events, and have people touch, feel, look at the products without having to, you know, be gifting everybody. And so that's something that we do. So that's a tactic that we use. And also just making sure that, you know, when we are talking with reporters, we'll explain to them what are the nuances and why there's so much packaging. And if we're able to add a lot of value to our clients, so they're not the bad guy, they're dealing with what the regulators are making them do. So that's our role in that.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense.
And also, when we source things for our influencer boxes, we always try to go with merchants that have sustainable products. If we have that choice, maybe the jar needs to be, you know, childproof, so it's got 12 layers on it. But the T-shirt can be sustainable that we send with it. So can the water bottle. So can the box. So can be, you know, so can be delivery. If we're in New York, why are we using the mail? We can have people bring it up on the subway. So there are things that we do to save money and resources for our clients and also be a little more sustainable in our practices.
Well, you're leading the way in the PR world. So I think there's a lot of PR organizations that can listen and, you know, follow that kind of charge. So congratulations on that. And putting our kind of future forecasting minds here. I know that, you know, I don't propose to know what's going to happen tomorrow. I wouldn't trust my advice on the markets, but how do you see the future of packaging evolving over the next 5 to 10 years? And on top of that, what do you think businesses could be doing today to stay ahead of the curve on that?
Listen, I think the beautiful thing about the cannabis industry is that it was born in the 2000s, right? Where there's so much innovation, there is so much technology, there is this move to sustainability. So as the regulations, you know, I think that it'll be more intuitive, like to how other industries or other highly regulated products, you know, are like alcohol. I would say it's not crazy, you know, it's not crazy to open a wine bottle, right? And most of that's because we want it to stay fresh, not because it's childproof, right? So as there's innovation in packaging and, you know, sustainability and the regulations change, cannabis companies are going to be able to take advantage of all these other packaging mediums that other industries are privy to. So that's part of it. I also think that, like I said, like there's so many efficiencies that are being made now with packaging, right? And so because, like I said, we're being born in like a new era, cannabis companies will start looking a lot like more like CPG in a faster way. It'll be more efficient. It's not going to be like we're 10 years behind like we are right now.
And do you think that, I know connected packaging is a trend word that's being thrown around a lot at the moment. And the Merchant Boxes team are working with a number of different partners to provide these kind of like digital experiences that enhance the packaging when it arrives. It gives this much wider brand experience. Is that something that you've engaged with or you think is going to continue to grow?
Yeah. And I think that's also like the big part of it, as I mentioned a couple of times, is education. So you can give a lot of information with the QR code, right?
Yeah.
So I think people are using that. And I'm seeing it also. And I also think that part of the experience it is that digital experience. Because what do you do? Like you go out, like being able to use like online resources, like to gain information and build the brands or not using necessarily like so much waste is one thing. And also I think that we'll be able to just keep up with the trends because the regulatory environment will change. And from our standpoint, we will be able to, you know, send things across state lines. So we'll be able to get the packaging and get these products into more editors' hands, more influencers' hands, so that, you know, there is more visibility for these products in these packages.
Amazing. Well, I think we've got some absolute gold here. Rosie, thank you so much for taking the time to talk us through this. It's a totally different perspective, a different angle on this conversation than what we've had from other guests that have come on the show. And that is it for this episode of Unboxed. So thank you so much to Rosie for coming on the show and sharing all your expertise with us. If you, the listener, have enjoyed the episode, be sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review wherever you're listening. It means a lot to us and the algorithm overlords. From your perspective, Rosie, if somebody is intrigued and wants to kind of reach out and see how your services could help them, how should they do that?
Yeah, so Matteo.com, and I'm very active on LinkedIn and on Twitter and on Instagram. You can always follow me at Rosie Matteo. That's my handle across all networks. And I really appreciate you having me. This is a fun conversation. I told you I was a little anxious about it, but it was actually like, it was super fun. And, you know, it actually got my mind thinking on mind spinning what we can do next. So I appreciate you having me on.
That's awesome. And we'll make sure we put those links into the show notes as well. So wherever you're listening to this or watching it, go up into the notes and you should be able to click that and get over there pretty quickly. And if you, the listener, have any questions, comments, suggestions for future episodes, you can reach us on email at unboxed@merchantboxes.com. And until next time, keep thinking outside the box and creating unforgettable brand experiences. See you later. Bye. Thank you for listening to today's episode. It was sponsored by Merchant Boxes. Merchant Boxes provide custom packaging to large businesses and small creators that customers love. If you're looking for award-winning custom package designs that make your business and products stand out from the competition, click the link in the show notes to find out more.